have to say I do find it slightly incongruous that 3 weeks before the end of the Christian year, Sunday the 29th of November is Advent Sunday, our gospel reading comes from the very first chapter of Mark's gospel. Maybe it's there as a challenging passage as it is to wake us out of our sort of autumnal or November slumber. As ever, it's good to put a passage into its correct context. As I'm sure most of you know, the Gospel of Mark does not have a birth narrative of Jesus. Rather, it starts straight in with John the Baptist, who we, of course, heard about last Advent. We'll hear about in Luke's account this coming Advent, about his preaching and his lifestyle. And his message, of course, was for people to repent and be baptized. Mark tells us that Jesus comes and is baptized and then has this period of temptation, which the account in Mark is exceedingly short about. Matthew and Luke tell us a lot more. And then our passage begins. After John the Baptist is arrested, put in prison, Jesus returns from the Jordan area to the area of Galilee, where he grew up, and begins his public ministry, proclaiming the good news of God. And what was his message? Mark tells us, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent. 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 It's the reiteration, of course, of John the Baptist's message. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So verse 4 of Mark 1 tells us. What did this mean, I ask you, for John the Baptist and for Jesus' first hearers? Well, the word is meant to mean not only be sorry, which is what we often think of repenting, oh, I'm sorry of doing that, but it also has the idea of turning away and going in the opposite direction. In other words, recognizing failure, expressing regret for it, being sorry, but seeking to directly turn and go in the right direction, the opposite direction. But Jesus' first hearers and John the Baptist's first hearers often saw that they thought they had no need to repent. They were God's chosen people, the Jews. John the Baptist, of course, had challenged this. Don't say we have Abraham as our father. No, that won't save you. For at that time, baptism was only for Gentiles who wanted to become Jews. They were baptized to wash away their Gentileness, their sinfulness. John and Jesus say that relying on the Jewish heritage is not enough. And Jesus' message, yes, is also the same. Turn away from relying on your Jewish heritage, but your birth, your ceremonial circumcision. What I think he also wanted them to turn away from was the political agenda that was on the mind of so many Jews at the time. They're a subject people under Roman rule, and they looked to overthrow that Roman rule and establish once more an independent Jewish nation. But having asked the question of what Jesus and John the Baptist's first hearers made of what was said, the obvious question also is, what should the call to repent mean to us in 21st century Prague, as we hear it again this morning? Well, again, it's a little bit about a reliance on birth and nationality, which so many of us do. Somehow, many Brits think, I'm British, we're fine. Many Americans think they're some particular special nation blessed by God. We easily rely on our nationality, or maybe it's our schooling or our upbringing. Reliance on our job, the money we earn, the pension we have, the economic security we have. All these are good, but of course in recent years we have seen economic upheavals and affected people's nations and individual lives. Yes, we need to, like the Jews, not rely on these various things. The hearers of Jesus and John the Baptist, of course, knew of calls of repentance from the Old Testament. They were familiar with them. There were always a call to return to trusting in and being loyal to the God of Israel, to Yahweh, the one true God. Only when this happened could God's kingly rule begin. It's the voice of many of the prophets in the Old Testament. And I think the same call comes to us, to renew our trust in the God that we say that we believe in, the creator of heaven and earth, as we will say in the words of the Creed. We say it, but often we do it by rote. Do we actually believe it? Do we put our trust first and foremost in God rather than the other things that I listed a moment or two ago? That's so much about repentance. People were to repent and to believe the good news of the gospel. The gospels, the four of them, tell of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They are the heart of our Christian faith. Hence, at our Eucharist, we always have a reading from the Gospels. What is this good news? Well, of course, it is the good news that men and women can be reconciled to God. If you read the Old Testament, if you ever try to battle your way through the book of Leviticus, you will hear all about the different sacrifices that had to be made. It rather sounds quite abhorrent to us today, to our 21st century way of thinking. But the Old Testament, of course, is a gradual revelation of God, pointing forward to the coming Messiah, the Christ, who reveals God fully and brings salvation and reconciliation. Our second reading this morning from the letter to the Hebrews, which we've had a series of readings from over recent Sundays. We'll have another one next Sunday. As I think I've said before, we don't know who the author was, but we do know who the audience was. The Hebrews, the Jewish people, Jews or Jewish converts to Christianity. And Hebrews is littered with Old Testament quotes and allusions. And the writer aims to show that Jesus fulfills all that the Old Testament points forward to. As we learn from the Old Testament, and to which the writer refers to in that passage that Paul read to us, once a year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, in the center of the temple, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, of course, as it's known. But he did it once a year, but each year it had to be repeated. Jesus, the true high priest, made the once-for-all sacrifice of himself, as the writer puts it, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is the good news of the gospel, that sins can be forgiven, men and women can be reconciled to God and brought into a new relationship with him. And again, back to the question of what we say we believe. Do we actually believe that? Do you have a faith in what God in Christ has done? Is that what you truly trust in? Let us be a people who believe the good news of the gospel. So, yes, the call of Jesus is to repent, firstly, to believe, secondly, and then what does he say? And follow me, picking up David's theme with the children. We have the call of the first disciples. Each left the family business to follow this itinerant preacher. It sounds all very dramatic, doesn't it? Part of the explanation is found in John's Gospel of the account of the call of the first disciples, which we actually had during Epiphany this year. that it shows that some of these who were called by Jesus had themselves first been followers of John the Baptist and really were waiting for this moment, for the coming Messiah that John the Baptist said he was preparing the way for. Even so, when the call came from Jesus, they got up and followed him and left their nets, left the others who worked, certainly the sons of Zebedee, their father's business. There were others who worked there. They left them and followed Jesus. The early Christians, in fact, were known as people of the way, Christian followers of Christ. And so I ask you this morning, how serious are we about following Jesus? Are we really listening to his call upon our lives now? Open to the fact that Jesus just might want our lives to take a different direction, just as the lives of Peter, Andrew, James, and John took a very different direction from following Jesus' call. Are we going to do what they do? What they did, and rise and follow Jesus? And what were they to do? They were, in that lovely picture, to fish for people. Gender inclusive, of course, most of us know it as fishing. I will make you fishers of men. But yes, both men and women. Of course, it's a good play on words with their former occupation. They had been fishermen, now they were to fish, not for fish, but for people. Do we see, as part of our response to the call to follow Christ, as also being to fish for people? Do we believe in that, what sometimes is seen as a dirty word, evangelism, sharing the good news with others? When was the last time you invited someone to come to church with you? I'll let you answer that question yourselves. I actually mentioned in this last weekly message by email to think of those you might invite to our carol service in December, an opportunity many people would like to come to if only you invited them. When did you last talk to someone about your faith? Especially if somebody, as I'm sure people do ask you sometimes, why you go to church. Is there an embarrassed silence? Or do you have a word to say in response for why you attend worship, why you believe? For the good news, which we are called to believe, is good news for everyone. But it needs Christ's followers to share it and to live it. So on this third Sunday of Advent, before Advent, my challenge to you from this first chapter of Mark is this. Let us be a people who do repent of relying on false things. People who believe, really believe the good news of the gospel. And also then follow Jesus, listening to his call, and being willing, being active in bringing others to also be believers and followers in Jesus. Repent, believe, and follow. Three words, easy enough to remember, and I trust that God will speak to each one of us from his word this morning. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.